Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airways. It's the Thursday Throwdown, each and every Thursday, primetime special, the Doc Talk podcast, hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend of me in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Dr. Greg Roscoe. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing, playing a little co-host till the guests get in Los Angeles, where the rain has just kind of subsided a little. 4 days of playing Noah in the Ark. That's a story for another day. 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in place, hand off the mic, Doc the Threes, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And we're waiting for our two great doctors to get in to join us. Matt Varicello and Dr. Samantha Morgan.
Well, thank you very much, Mark. We're doing great. We should have a great show tonight. Again, talking on and building on a little topic that we did talk about a little bit ago, which is regenerative medicine, which is a very new and exciting field. Mark, we're doing great. You know, we're here in Pittsburgh. Today, it was sunny and about 58 degrees. So, you know, we're getting that look of spring. The snow is melted. There's a few piles here and there, but it's beautiful, you know, very light jacket, and we're thinking of spring. People can get a hold of me, gjrmd308@outlook.com. Tonight, you know, we brought back a friend of the show, Dr. Matt Varicella, and he was bringing also his athletic trainer, who's a doctor of athletic training, Samantha Morgan. And what we wanted to talk about tonight, you know, as far as trends, you know, years ago when people had injuries to the foot, ankle, to the knee, to the hip, you know, surgical procedures were done. They rehabbed, and it could be weeks or months until people are back to the athletics or back to working again, especially professional sports. You know, with Aaron Rodgers, kind of stimulated this a little bit with his Express Care recovering, where he did use some regenerative techniques to help improve his healing process. And we were going to talk a little bit about that tonight with Dr. Varicella, kind of, you know, how were things years ago? What do things look like today? You know, what are the keys to getting athletes back to their position, getting students back to school, getting our adults back to functioning again? And that's the new field here of regenerative medicine or regenerative orthopedics. And, you know, the key here is where they're using, in orthopedics specifically, something called orthobiologics. And, you know, another name for that, for the most part, are stem cells. Also, plasma-rich blood can be used as well. But, you know, years ago, and I'm not talking too far in the past, you know, people would get steroid injections or they would get open surgical procedures, especially on, you know, feet, shoulders, you know, kind of in interventional orthopedics. Today, the trending is more non-invasive. Overall, what we're trying to do is to go ahead, get our damage in these joints cleared up and back to normal functioning tissue. And, you know, well, how is all this done? You know, a quick little synopsis on this is where, you know, we have the orthopedic care typically by docs that have maybe been very interventional in the past. Today, they're able to go ahead, and again, using, you know, we talk about diagnostic tools. They use fluoroscopy. They use ultrasound. Now, in using those tools, they can place stem cells, you know, from one's own body and place them specifically in the joint that has been damaged. And, you know, sometimes as we all grow older, we get damage in these joints. We get arthritis. Of course, we get fractures. We get tears. So that overall, able to inject stem cell therapy into these areas, we can provide a means to have new healthy tissue grow. And it's been great with regard to outcomes. And we were hoping, now, Dr. Varicella may be in surgery here. I know he had a long day today. But he has cases now where, indeed, he's gone ahead, done some repairs, but also has done some these orthobiologicals. And it would be great to hear a couple of case histories, of course, that he has. And, Mark, what do you have on the lines now? Do you have any questions?
Let me get a couple comments. Dalen from Chelmsford, regular listener to the show each and every week, chimes in, says, well, with these blood diseases, where does sickle cell disease come in and hemophilia?
Well,
that's an interesting question.
Talk about, as far as sickle cell disease, we know that that disease particularly involves the cell shape, and that's where the word sickle cell comes from, the red blood cell. And indeed, you know, people that have sickle cell mostly are Afro-American population. With regard to this regenerative situation, we can still use their stem cells in their damaged joints or their tears. So the sickle cell population of cells doesn't have an immediate effect on the healing of a joint if we're injecting stem cells into that area. It's a good question, but indeed it's a little bit off topic of where we're going tonight.
Well, let me ask you on that particular question, what he had brought up, the sickle cell and hemophilia, where does leukemia play in this? Is leukemia along the same line with the blood diseases?
Yeah. Yes. You know, when we're talking about leukemia and, you know, sickle cell, leukemia, we know, is a hematologic disease that has multiplication of the blood cells that damage good tissue. So that overall, again, now we're kind of getting off the point with regard to orthopedics. But again, sickle cell as well as hemophilia, they're both serious diseases that affect more the blood-producing elements in our body than actually joints, Mark. So, you know, we're trying to talk about joint repair, joint healing, but the sickle cell as well as the leukemic cells tend not to help us with that. They tend to destroy healthy tissue.
Okay, let me get another comment out of Clearwater, Florida, another avid listener. This is Dennis. Basically says, okay, so if the joints are coming into place here, how much does arthritis play into this as you get older? Is the replacements come into play, the knee replacements? Are there ointments? Is it just therapy? Wow, this is an interesting frame coming
question.
Out of Dennis and Clearwater.
Yeah, you know, as far as very good question, thank you for the question. You know, when we talk about, you know, I think the word he's looking at is osteoarthritis. And with regard to whether it's our shoulder, you know, where we have the osteoarthritis, which is inflammation and degeneration of the joint capsule, you know, we may have our patients having instability of the shoulder. The shoulder doesn't stay well within the socket. We can get tears in the tendons. We can get, you know, necrosis of the joint. And then going on to osteoarthritis more severe, we can't get a frozen shoulder. So, I mean, that's kind of the maladies that we see, you know, in the shoulder with the rotator cuff, which we've all heard about. But what we're looking at today, and many clinics, you know, across the country, they're able to regenerate these frozen shoulders or these damaged bicep injuries by injecting stem cells, you know, and they're calling those, you know, this orthobiologic material that they're able to inject into that area. And, you know, that's the new science. You know, when we look at that, we're after, again, the big thing is having our own body's natural healing agents treating injuries. You know, and it's kind of another way to look at it. Besides just stem cells, there is something called PRP, platelet-rich plasma, which our body makes, and that can be injected into these damaged areas, Mark, and then start to regenerate and start to have healing take place. Now, that's the beauty of stem cells, that once they're in, you know, once they're harvested, they're able to be used in many different parts of the body to help it heal. And that was the beauty of tonight's discussion, to talk about, well, years ago when they did certain procedures, if we're looking at shoulder injury, looking at rotator cuffs, that, you know, it took a long time in physical therapy to regenerate a shoulder, and it never really came back well. So that, you know, overall, we continue to look for new advances. And this stem cell therapy has been one of them that's giving our patients far better results, far better healing. Mark, and the big thing is to return to function. That's what we're after overall, is to return to function sooner than later and to make our bodies, if I use the word whole again, in functioning. So go ahead, Mark.
You know, and just to stay on that, you know, thing, where does athletes play into this? Because we know
again,
as they get the athletes, where do they play into this? Because as they get older, we see more and more teams create that load management. Is that to give the body a rest? Is that to give the joints a rest? Because we're seeing less of injuries now with more the load managements teams are compromised on because to protect their investments.
Sure.
Is that along the same lines?
Yes. You know, I think you talked about many things here, Mark. And, you know, if a team is protecting their investment, and we're talking about human capital here, correct?
Right.
That's the investment. It's not in a stadium. It's not a bat, a ball, a football, or whatever. It's basically the human capital that needs to perform. And the more we protect the human capital and we make it stronger and better, we think that it's easier for them to train them, have them win, and to go on to better heights. So, you know, with regard to a couple issues I want to get into, prevention of an injury, that's key, Mark. And you mentioned about load management. You know, certain shoes are far better to manage that load of running, hitting the pavement, hitting the ground, hitting the hardwood. We want to protect our ankles, knees, and hips, and that's a good way to do it with load management. And then, you know, the other side of the coin then is, well, what if we indeed have damage? You know, what if we tear an Achilles tendon? What if we, you know, tear a meniscus? You know, what if we then have damage to the asset? What do we do? And I think that's where, you know, new technology is and where this exciting new aspect of medicine is with regenerative medicine, that we can go ahead, restore these tissues almost back to normal so that they will look good, so to speak, on scanning, but also function as well and return the athlete back to prior injury function. So go ahead, Mark.
Let me get Albert from Poway. He goes, well, where does rheumatoid arthritis play into this?
Wow. When we talk about, I think if we define the word arthritis, you know, that's inflammation of the joint. And it can be a variety of joints. Of course, the bigger joints are hit first. That's the hip, the knee, as well as the ankle, and then, of course, the shoulder. But rheumatoid is a very specific type of arthritis that does cause inflammation and damage to the joint capsules overall, leading to scarring and immobility, where it damages the smooth tissue that should help decrease movement because it's slippery and it's tough. But once you start to damage it, it starts to be irregular and painful overall. So rheumatoid is an issue, but it is an immunologic disease. And, you know, at this point, we need to handle a couple of different things. You know, that being the arthritic process, but also trying to maintain the integrity of the joint itself. So go ahead, Mark. What else do you have?
Well, and, you know, what he had brought up, Albert, brings me to the question, when I played hockey, and sometimes as a goalie, you're always hitting the ice. And I would get that bursitis sac under the elbow. And
yes.
I didn't know what that is. I guess it's a fluid that just
yes.
kind of fills up, and then it goes away over time. But some people, as you see, as they get older, maybe they're a little overweight, but you see this bursitis. I mean, that's got to be – I mean, it's –
very painful.
Yeah. I wonder, how do you alleviate that? Is it just taking a needle and draining it, that fluid? Is it just icing it? What is it? What would be the combination of taking
sure.
care of that procedure?
Nope, I understand what you're saying. Very good question. You know, when
yeah.
we talk about bursitis, and again, we're talking about a bursa or a sac, and, you know, especially like you mentioned about the elbow, there is a small bursa, a small sac there that does handle making fluid to keep the joints lubricated. And at times, you're right, that bursa gets damaged and it gets dislodged. And so from being a little sac, this can be as big as a golf ball. And I think you've seen it on different athletes, you know, right at the elbow. And it's a fluid-filled sac. And, you know, as far as what do you do about it? You mentioned, you know, do you put ice on it? Do you go ahead and stick a needle in it? And the answer is, well, yes, you can do that overall. But, you know, there's damage there. So it is one of those things that there's no easy cure that will, you know, one-time shot with a needle remedy the situation. And you may need to have, you know, a surgical intervention there to repair that bursa so it doesn't fill up again overall. Okay?
Wow.
And like I'm saying, sticking a needle in at once might give you immediate relief, but I almost guarantee you it's going to fill up again.
Yeah, and that's just the constant pounding of the
yeah.
ice and the constant pounding of hitting that same area over and over again.
Absolutely correct. And, you know, our bodies are wonderful machines, but, you know, the pounding and the beating they take in sports is tremendous. And, you know, we've talked about, you know, athletes and, you know, how short their career can be because their body does take a toll. And for the most part, you know, the more, for example, football, extremely traumatic on many parts of an athlete's body. Baseball typically is upper body, arms, neck, shoulders. And then, of course, you go into wrestling, you go into soccer. You know, it's a variety, but indeed these athletes tend to suffer, and their careers probably are short. But again,
right,
they do well, you know, financially, Mark, as you know. But they do pay a toll. And even after they retire at times, they still have aches and pains, immobility, and they've got to be very cautious about what they do with their lives.
Right.
So it is something
now, where
you know
does,
that.
Let me ask you, where does the term water in the knee come from? Is that the same type of thing with the bursitis in the elbow, with just fluid getting into the knee and having it drain? Because you hear that expression, but you don't quite know what it is if it doesn't happen to you. But water in the knee.
Water in the knee. You know, we know that anatomically our joints have, it's called synovial fluid. And that's a lubricating liquid that is in the joint to allow the bones, which typically it's what a joint is. It's two bones coming together. It's basically lubricating that interaction and those tissues to decrease friction. Now, you know, so you have fluid there. And then, again, typically what happens if there's damage to that structure as the knee, as the joint, that fluid can leak out. And, again, as it leaks out, it can only go so many places. And in doing that, you may get a bubble on the side of the knee, or the front of the knee, which is like that fluid-filled sac. And that's what, you know, people do. They drain it. And that's by sticking a needle in. But you need to drain it and wrap it, and you need to give them a little bit of a rest period to see if you can get that to heal. And a lot of times, Mark, if someone is experiencing that, then you need to do an MRI of the joint and take a look and see indeed how much damage there is to go ahead and then put a proper training plan together. Okay?
Yeah. Let me get another one. Lance from Pensacola says, what would be the signs that you need knee surgery? You know, is there any signs that you require that would require knee surgery? I know you guys are talking about, you know, pain and all that, but well, I think the first thing is, Doc, that you can't put weight on it, or you got a meniscus tear, or, you know, a ligament damage there would be the first signs if you need knee surgery.
Right. Well, you know, Mark, when you have, a knee problem, you know, the big thing is we all want to return to normal function, correct? And I think the words are, you know, if you have immobility, you know, you have pain, if you're not able to go ahead and, you know, turn quickly on your motion and your walking, and, you know, the knee kind of gets bound up a little bit or extremely painful, you know that something's going on. And, you know, with regard to how do we diagnose it? You know, I think that's what you're asking. You know, the big thing is we start with an MRI. And that's one of the better diagnostic tests that we have that, you know, we can do to look at that knee, to take a look at how much damage is there. You know, is the patella displaced? And that's the front bone of the knee. You know, is there a tear in the meniscus? Has the patient lost that strength? Are they able to, you know, just not walk straight ahead, but can they pivot? You know, and that's what happens. You know, you lose some of those functions, and with the, you know, current treatment, yeah, you know, if you're able to diagnose it, and that's the physical examination we talk about, and that's also the MR that we talk about. But, you know, people have injected Novocaine. They have injected steroids. And you've heard that. People go in for a steroid injection to go ahead, see if they can take the inflammation out of the knee area, and go ahead and see if we can rehabilitate it, you know, with a little bit of physical therapy. But, you know, what's going on today is that, you know, we have clinics and doctors that are a little more knowledgeable with current trends. and they can go ahead to regenerate these tissues. And, you know, the two manners, the platelet-rich plasma and stem cells. And these little culprits are injected into that area, Mark, and you may not need surgery once this healing process starts. That, you know, overall, having these types of biologics help to clear and help to heal the body's tissues. And, you know, they're human cells that are placed in that area. And, you know, we talk about stem cells. Well,
right.
Stem cells are throughout our bodies. And, you know, it's a matter that certain areas of the body don't have a lot of stem cells. Or once they're formed, that formation process is over. Where when we inject stem cells into that, we start to get the stem cells differentiating into that tissue where they're located. So, you know, as far as the knee, depending on the problem, that we can go ahead and regenerate the knee tissue so they can function without major surgery. Okay?
Well, let me bring in Kenneth from Peoria. He's listened to the show quite a few times. Wants to know, where does a cortisone shot come into play with this thing? You know, he's heard of cortisone
sure.
shots in the back. Do they put them in the knee? Where do they shoot it in the knee? Is it above, below the kneecap? Where does this play into it if you're going to get, something to alleviate the pain other than taking maybe over-the-counter drugs?
Sure. No, I think that's a very good question. And, you know, with regard to joint injections, there's a lot of medical facilities that do them. And I think he was referring to steroids, was he not?
Yes, I would imagine so. Yes.
As far as where is the injection, depends on where the problem is. And, you know, a lot of doctors will do injections under ultrasound so that they're able to ultrasound the joint and then direct the needle into the damaged tissue. And so it depends on where the damage is, so the steroid gets in. Now, we know that, you know, steroids, I think another word for steroids are anti-inflammatory drugs. They decrease inflammation. And inflammation is swelling, blood vessels engorgement, a lot of, you know, blood flow to an area because the damaged area is telling the brain, hey, we've got some damage here, we need some help. The body is sending help through the bloodstream. And doing the injection kind of slows all that down. And again, as we slow down the inflammatory process, the swelling goes away, and we start to maybe see healing, and then the pain goes away. So it does depend on which joint and what part of the joint is damaged, Mark, of where we inject. But usually when doctors are injecting, they're doing it under a guided system so they know where to deposit the medications in order to give our patients relief. Is that helpful?
Right, and then the cortisone shot is just a temporary relief of the situation, I would imagine, correct?
You're absolutely correct. You know, I think you're right. Depending on the process, you know, if it is inflammatory, like inflammation, the cortisone shot will help. Now, it doesn't give you permanent cure, but it does take away the swelling. You know, I have patients that they go in to see their pain doctor, their anesthesia doctor. that'll inject their neck, their cervical discs, with steroid. Again, under ultrasound, to go ahead and to give them relief. You know, if the vertebrae have shifted, the discs have thinned, and then the nerves that are coming out of the spinal area get pressure. And if you can decrease the pressure on the nerve, then indeed the pain goes away. So inflammation, you know, we talk about cortisone, we talk about steroid. Cortisone is a part of the family of steroids overall. You know, other terms which people have heard about are prednisone, that, you know, that's an oral steroid. You know, there's Decadron, dexamethasone, as well as we have the injectable corticosteroids. Okay?
Let me ask, let me bring in Pam from Dearborn, Michigan. Says her grandmother has abnormal buildup of fluid in the ankles, feet, and legs. What causes that swelling? Wow.
Well, very good question, very good observation. You know, again, we're a little bit off topic, but that shows you the interest people have in what they notice. And, you know, when we talk about swelling, you know, there's different types of swelling, Mark. And, you know, that's why it's hard sometimes when a patient comes in and they'll say, I have swelling, and I've gone to the Internet. This is what I have. Sometimes they're a little bit off the mark. And, you know, there's different types of swelling in the lower extremities. And she's saying her mother, you know, has that. Well, sometimes has nothing to do with arthritis. Sometimes that fluid buildup is when the heart is not working properly. That fluid is not carried back through the vascular system back to the heart, and the fluid stays in the periphery. And one can get swollen ankles. One can have swelling and fluid up to the knees because their heart is not working properly. And now in those cases, Mark, you know, you typically look at a water pill. You know, is there a water pill that they could take that kind of, we've used the word diurese, that we go ahead and they would urinate pretty darn frequently and get rid of the fluid. So that's, you know, one kind of fluid there, which is cardiac. And, you know, another term for that, if maybe the listener is familiar with it, is called pedal edema. Pedal being foot, edema being swelling. And typically that will resolve using ongoing medication to get rid of the fluid. But at the same time, we need the patient to probably have a cardiac workup to make sure their heart is pumping properly. You know, it's a matter sometimes that the heart is not and the body is going into something called failure, cardiac failure.
Well, here's the other thing
on
that, if I can interact.
Yes,
I would
sir.
Think moving around would alleviate that, because if you're sitting and you're not moving, it's not going to get the blood flow going. I would think, and you got the experience and knowledge, I'm just trying to figure this whole thing as you lay it down with her in Dearborn, Michigan, Pam. I would think if you're not moving, the swelling ain't going to go down. So that means you got to keep yourself active if you've got abnormal swelling. So that could be a combination of also not getting up and trying to walk. Now, as painful as it is, if you got the swelling in the calves, ankles, and knees, it's hard to walk. But if you're using a walker or something just to get some blood flow going, to me it would be a limited blood flow if those calves are expanding.
Sure. Now, I understand what I think what you're saying, and it's a good take on all this to say let's have more motion so you increase your cardiac output and you increase your blood flow. and that's possible, Mark. Sometimes their heart is too weak to go ahead and move around. That's why they're sitting. And the more they sit, the more fluid they have.
But and there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do as far as alleviating the pain, cortisone shots, and everything, because that much swelling, you can't feel it anyhow. It would. It's almost, and I don't want to, you know, disregard the question, and I don't want to, you know, be derogatory towards this question, but it's almost like trying to shoot a bear with a pop gun.
Sure.
You're going to need something that's going to take 2-3 shots to the head to bring the thing down. Same thing with the swelling. A cortisone shot ain't going to alleviate it if that swelling is expanded so far where you have, you know, almost like elephant-style type of leg,
swelling.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're hitting the point right on, Mark. You know, we talk about, you know, swelling and how do we define it? What does that mean, you know, to
right.
the patient or to the family or the caretaker? And so the point being, if you're not, you know, if your loved one has swelling, maybe you need to get a professional opinion, you know, that overall, maybe it's not a joint swelling, but maybe it's a heart swelling. All right, that the heart is not functioning, so the fluid is there in the legs, in the ankles, so that basically the patient does have a heart problem as opposed to an arthritic problem. And that's why maybe at times, Mark, we need a good diagnosis of the problem and not trying to assume that, oh, my God, you know, it's joint swelling, let me inject steroids. Maybe it's something overall that has nothing to do with steroids. It has something to do with the heart. But again, we always want to get good information to go ahead and to treat our patients. You know, good information leads to good diagnosis and good cares. But if we make a wrong diagnosis, Mark, the wrong treatment follows and our patients don't do well. And that's why, you know,
not only that, Joey from Bucks County, PA, chiming in says, guys, I think the most important thing here is when I'm sitting here listening to your radio show, talk about swelling, arthritis, everything like that, the first thing that comes to my mind is, and maybe this is in the forefront with you guys that you're getting to, would be diet. Diet would have to be up there to alleviate all these problems. Wow, that's a great question.
Great
Joey
question.
Joey out of Bucks County.
Yeah, and I think Zoe, you know, has a very good point of view there. You know, now diet, referring to that with this swelling issue, you know, usually people that use a lot of salt are at risk to have swelling. So that, yeah, you're right, diet, by increasing salt intake, can cause swelling of the ankles. And we use the words pedal edema. So Zoe is right. And again, but it seems there needs to be certain cardiac conditions that if one were to have a poor diet, that would lead to these problems. You know, it all goes hand in hand. You know, a healthy diet leads to our body healing and doing well. And indeed, when our diet is not good, then indeed it's going to make our comorbidities even worse overall. And Mark, you know, you go in general, we all need good information. And Mark, you know we have the internet today. But, you know, Mark, some of us aren't doctors. And, you know, people that self-diagnose could be really challenging their health with bad information. So it's always good to get good information from your professionals And then, again, so you understand what the mechanism is of the problem. So you're able to have a better idea of, you know, the treatment. The doc wants me to go ahead, decrease my salt intake. You know, doc wants me to go ahead and to do a little more exercise. You know, doc wants to put me on some medication for my heart to make it contract better. And understanding that whole process, you know, people then buy into the therapy that, you know, overall, I understand why I'm on this medicine. I understand why I'm on salt restriction. You know, and that's what we want. We want our patients to understand what our diagnoses are and what we're treating so they can be part of the healthcare team taking care of themselves.
Well, and you bring up this salt issue, and I got a friend, when I go out with him, Doc, it is a lot of salt on a lot of things, and he's overweight. And I can't believe how much salt this guy puts. And I'm saying to myself, the salt's already in the foods.
Yeah.
So when you get fries, they taste good. I always try to get fries, no salt. Now, the other thing that could play into this, too, and maybe to go hand in hand and not to get kind of off target here, because that's not what I want. We're in the last 15 minutes of this thing, and then we'll get into an overview. We understand Dr. Matt Varicello, Samantha Morgan could be joining us in surgery now. But where does the metabolism come into play in this? Because if you have great metabolism, you can pretty much eat anything you want and burn it off compared to other people that have a hard time burning it off.
Sure. Now, I understand. And, you know, when we talk about it, Mark, if we talk about the word metabolism, you know, and that's how our body burns nutrition and develops different nutrients, different types of protein, amino acid, you know, breaking it down. And, you know, with regard to, you know, different types of metabolism, realize that, you know, we have people that are diabetic, all right?
Yeah.
And they have a very altered metabolism when it comes to carbohydrates. You know, we have people that are very hypertensive, that are very sensitive to salt, that makes their blood pressure goes up. You know, we have people that, you know, can't digest milk or casein, you know, and they have a problem with their metabolism. So the metabolism field, you know, is a very large one. And there's many different aspects of it. And, you know, if you're not digesting your food properly, breaking it down into the smallest nutritional pieces so your body can absorb it and use it, then, you know, you may have some other maladies. And, you know, there was there's a book that's currently out. I think many people are aware of it. And, you know, it's called The Plant Paradox. And it talks about, you know, the foods that are good, the foods that are bad, but the foods that are bad, they have something called lectin, L-E-C-H-I-T-I-N, lectin, in them. And the lectin actually damages our gut, our GI tract, and we get something called a leaky gut syndrome. And maybe, you know, our listeners have heard of it, but that leaky gut process leads to a lot of different metabolic problems. It leads to problems with our thyroid gland, problems with our nerves, all right? So we need to understand, you know, nutrition-wise, what are good foods, what are bad foods, you know, what are the things I need to do? But, you know, Mark, one thing that I think, you know, the program has been outstanding, but the big thing is we want our listeners to say, hey, I heard Dr. Roscoe talk about that. Maybe I need to get on the Internet, look it up. Maybe I need to go to the bookstore. Well, let me get a book. Let me look at the definition here. You know, maybe I can help my own life by reading a little more about nutrition. And, you know, if we indeed, Mark, take steps to improve our nutrition, we make this organism of our bodies a lot stronger, a lot more resistant to disease, and to keep it healthy. So we need to take it. I use the word responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, you only get one house, so to speak. This house is your body. Let's take care of this house. Let's give it good nutrition. You know, let's not give it cheap gas. Let's give it the good high-powered gas, because we want it to go out for longevity, but also we want our bodies to work hard for us. We want to go out and climb the mountain, right? We want to build the skyscraper, but our body needs energy. Our brain needs energy. We need oxygen. And we go back to the thing, and I'll get off the podium here in a minute, the smoking, all right, the drinking, the vaping, chewing tobacco. These are all toxic chemicals that damage our organism. And, you know, sometimes it'll lead to a cancer. And I think we're all very aware of cigarettes and that whole process with tobacco, you know, and nicotine. That it can damage this organism and hurt our house.
Well, not only that, you bring up all that stuff. Where does the nutritionist fit into this equation?
Well, very good point. You know, if I can reflect just a little bit, you know, we were talking about Aaron Rodgers all the way back to the beginning here. And, you know, with Aaron, again, a superstar, you know, super resources, smart man, wanting to get back to his profession, all kind of good things. Well, you know, one thing that he did implement, indeed he had an excellent surgeon, had the right diagnosis, you know, had the physical therapy, you know, had the biologics injected into his foot, his Achilles tendon, you know, to help him heal. But he also had a nutritionist. And a nutritionist, of course, is a specialist that knows about food values. Do you know which type of food will give me the most value to get my body to do X, Y, and Z? That's what a nutritionist does, Mark. They go ahead, look at the, you know, the calories, the carbohydrates. They look at the protein and, you know, start to say, all right, you have healing that needs to be done here. We need more C for the collagen, or et cetera, et cetera. And that's the kind of diet they put together to help one's body heal. And, you know, we're not Aaron Rodgers. We don't have the resources he has. But, indeed, the information's available. And, you know, as much as one would research the Internet for their investments, they need to research, you know, again, the Internet or go to the bookstore to go ahead and get information about their body and about the nutrition that their body should have. So then when they're out shopping, they're buying the right vegetables. They're buying the right meat. They're buying the right fruits. You know, we're not buying packaged materials with soy in them. You know, we're not buying packaged materials that may have a tremendous amount of salt. The other one is sugar. You know, a variety of, you know, products have the sugar, the salt. They have very little nutritional value. We need to look at, read labels. We need to understand what our body needs. But we need, Mark, to go ahead and concentrate on taking care of this organism. You know, you can call it a house. You know, you want to put good stuff on your house. You don't want to put the cheap siding on. You don't want to buy the cheap paint. You don't want to buy the cheap plastic plumbing. You want the good stuff in your house. And I think we need to do that with our bodies as well, Mark. So go ahead.
I kind of got off tangent there. No, I think we've covered a lot with the nutrition, the swelling, everything like that. And, you know, when you think of these things, I guess the most important thing is just eat right. I mean, I think a lot of people can't afford to eat right. They eat the fast food.
Sure.
They think it's cheaper. But now the fast foods are getting to the point where they're starting to, you know, more or less bring up the health things. So they understand I don't know what the percentage of obesity is in the country, but I would think at least maybe 6 out of 10 are obese in some shape, way, or form today. Would that be an adequate clarification?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, with regard to an index of obesity, there's something called BMI, Body Mass Index. And overall, it's a measure of your height by your weight. There's a formula. And overall, the numbers should be in the area of the low 20s. Those are where healthy people should be. Many, many Americans, and I don't have the world figures, but I think you're correct, about 58% of Americans are far beyond the 20s. They're more in the 30s and 40s for body mass index. So obesity is an issue. And, you know, the other issue is childhood obesity. And, Mark, you know, with regard to our diets and fast food, you know, you can say what you want that, you know, dollars are important. But, Mark, you know, people could learn to plant vegetables, to plant fruits that overall are not expensive to do. They take a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of care, but they can definitely improve the quality of their lives by planting foods, planting fruits, so that overall they're able to do it. And you know that, Mark. Yeah, I mean, you know, immigrants, when they came over from Europe, they had gardens. They had vineyards. You know, they didn't run to the grocery store and pay top dollar for things or go to the fast food store. They grew in their backyard.
Right.
So am I correct with that? Have you seen that in your lifetime?
No, you're bringing correct things to the forefront here. I mean, that's the thing. And I mean, it's just living a healthy life when you sum
yes.
this thing up.
You're right. And I think, Mark, you know, as far as we've talked when we started to do the show, you and I, you know,
right.
about bringing information to our listeners. And that's what we try to do, Mark. You know, would like to go ahead, give them information that overall will improve the quality of their lives. And hopefully we try to do that every week with different topics, with current topics, with vocabulary words that maybe they've heard but don't understand, with doctors that do certain specialty things, so that overall maybe they can pick up a few points and maybe implement them in their life to make their lives better and stronger. Those are my thoughts and my mission here, Mark. Go ahead.
Well, as we sum this up with about 6 minutes, and then preview next week. I know we couldn't get the docs in today due to surgery and other things.
Yeah.
But how would we sum this conversation up? Because, boy, I think we've covered up a lot.
We did. Mark, you brought up a lot of good points. Our listeners have brought in. Yeah, tremendous amount. Really, you know, an awful lot of information that they're asking about, which is very exciting. And, you know, as far as if I can say a few words, you know, starting a little bit of a close here, is that, you know, we wanted to start talking about, again, regenerative medicine as, you know, a way of healing damaged joints. And that was our purpose with Dr. Varicella tonight, to have him, who's starting to implement regenerative techniques on surgeries that he's been doing. And that where at one time he was doing them differently, but today he's using more biologics or regenerative medicines to help his patients get better, stronger, faster. And then, of course, now he does the prehab, he does the rehab, et cetera, but part of what he does as a surgeon, as a practitioner, is tries to go ahead, improve the quality of the tissue and having it heal almost as normal. And we were going to bring Dr. Jared in also. Everybody has been busy this week. But Dr. Jared, who's a chiropractic doctor down in Clearwater, Florida, and he's my son. He does a lot of this regenerative medicine. He's not a surgeon. He's actually a chiropractor, but indeed he's able to go ahead. He's board certified in regenerative medicine, where he deals with different maladies. He deals with some of the professionals down there from Tampa that have joint problems. Now, he has a clinic where he does a variety of different procedures, whether it's the red laser, whether it's these mineral baths, the hyperbaric chambers. It's a variety of healthy type treatments to help people regenerate normal tissue in addition to the regeneration of tissue through stem cells. So it's quite a process going on. And, you know, the great thing about medicine is it's always getting better, Mark. And, you know, right. We as practitioners, and I'm still practicing, need to learn. And it's ongoing, you know, two different courses, reading, and then, again, trying to implement what we've learned. And then the other thing is the insurance companies, having them try to keep up, that they'll pay for some of these new therapies. And that's another situation. You know, we talk about stem cell therapy, biologic therapy. Well, you know, sometimes people have to pay out of pocket, and it is expensive. And, you know, nothing's cheap. You know that. And, you know, we want to make sure, as all of us, that we get value for our dollars, that we're going to the right doctors, the right clinics, the right places to get value, especially if we're paying for it as opposed to our insurance carrier paying for it, even though we pay the premium. So just long story short, let's be smart. Let's go ahead and let our listeners know that would like to go ahead and have our superstar guest back on, but would probably revisit regenerative medicine again.
Yeah.
And there are clinics that are popping up all over the country with regard to these stem cell injections, plasma-rich protein injections to help tissues heal rather than aggressive surgery. So, Mark, go ahead. What do you have for closing here?
Well, I will tell you this as we wrap this thing up with 2 minutes and some change. Why don't you preview next week? Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. I'll throw my information out there, and we'll wrap up this great show. 60 minutes sure went quick.
It sure did. Mark, I want to thank our listeners again for all the great questions, for calling in, and really making the show so successful. People can get a hold of me. I usually use email, and that's the easiest way to get a hold of me, and I get a lot of emails. But it is gjrmd308@outlook.com, and I do answer the emails. I do have some help with staff to answer the emails as well. So if you'd like to give me a question or a topic, please do that. We try to respond, then we try to go ahead and put a show around, topics as we've been doing, Mark. Wrapping this up, regenerative medicine, it's a new field, it's an exciting field, and I think over time it's going to replace a lot of aggressive surgical interventions, which is good for our patients, restoring normal function back to the body, as opposed to cutting things out, sewing things, wiring things, drilling things, with like Mother Nature's healing to take place in our bodies.
Yeah, and I can't wait for next week when we have another great guest coming in.
If I can elaborate on that, Mark, if I have just a second. Next week I have an infectious disease expert. Her name is Tuesday Staybrook. There's a large number of cases occurring in this country of hepatitis for many reasons. And, you know, she's been seeing and treating. We're seeing a lot of this hepatitis in nursing facilities. So Tuesday's going to talk about it, about where it's coming from, what are the causes, you know, how can we stop it, and what do we need to prevent it from our loved ones if they're in nursing facilities. So next week is hepatitis. How can we go ahead and stop the spread? And that's with Dr. Tuesday Stadbrook, who's an infectious disease expert. So thank you, Mark.
Well, I appreciate everything each and every week producing this, playing a little co-host for Dr. Greg Roscoe in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. We'll talk to you next Thursday, same time, across the airwaves, 2:30 drive time from Los Angeles, 5:30 as they're driving home in Pittsburgh. Till then, catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Have a blessed and safe weekend, and enjoy the Super Bowl. Till then, thanks for tuning in. Good night, everybody.
Thank you very, very much. Good night. Bye-bye.